This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Roy Williams joins us on Sports Byline Hall of Fame and head coach at North Carolina. Of course, before that, 15 years at the University of Kansas, and he has a great book out, one of the best books I've read, talking about his life and his career. It's called Hard Work, A Life on and Off the Court. And you say in the introduction, Roy, the fact that you are reading this book is more surprising to me than anyone else in the entire world. I never thought I'd be writing about myself and what has happened in my life. I've been approached several times about writing a book, and I've always said no, but I was finally convinced to do so. I hope I can give you a story that you will enjoy reading and might help you to understand Roy Williams a little bit better. Having to reflect and also put out there what your life has been like, both in basketball and in a personal sense, what do you understand better about yourself now that you've written this book, Roy?
Well, I'd like to give you one big analytical approach, Ron, but I don't know that I can do that. But it was a very difficult story to tell. It was very difficult to read it in print and to go over the proofs. As I said, you know, I'd been approached before, and I'd always said no. And this time, Steve Kirshner, SID, and Tim Carruthers on the Journal of the Faculty of the Journalism School, a former senior writer with Sports Illustrated, sort of wore me down. But I think my whole thing, if people have asked me that question, I hope that people will look at it and say, boy, he was really lucky. Now, there were some things that weren't really good, but he was really lucky that so many people helped him, so many people gave him a helping hand, whether it was the parents of my buddies or my teachers or my coaches, and no one realizes how much those little helping hands can mean to someone, particularly a youngster who's sort of floundering around out there and doesn't know which direction he's going to go. And that's the best thing about the book to me, is it's a way to say thank you to those people who did help me out so much.
Roy, why do you think you turned out so successful in light of the fact that you had a lot of challenges, especially early in your life?
I really do believe is the influences I had with the school particularly, but the friends of mine, particularly their parents, who did take an interest in me. And, you know, Buddy Baldwin, my high school coach, was most influential man to me as I was growing up. My mother was my hero. There's no question about that. But Coach Baldwin and all the teachers at Robertson High School where I went really did just take a little special interest. And Coach Baldwin was the first person to make me feel like I could be somebody. It really gave me confidence, and it made me feel really good. And I started thinking, well, my goodness, I know I'm not the only guy he's ever done that to, so he must really feel good knowing that he can make youngsters feel like he's doing me. And so that was the biggest part of it.
I thought it was interesting when you said, I don't have too many good memories of my childhood. I had no dreams, no goals, nothing whatsoever. What was your salvation then? Was it your mother?
It was my mother. She used to just say, you be sure and do the right thing. And I remember one time I asked her, I said, Mom, how do I know it's the right thing? And she said, you'll know. And it was just a tremendous amount of confidence. And she was really proud when on the academic side, when I started doing pretty well in school, and that made me feel really good. And then all of a sudden, the more I got into the academic side of it, and the more that I listened to the teachers and became exposed to what they were saying, then it did open up other doors and give me some dreams. It gave me some thoughts that I really didn't have until I got under the influence of those kinds of people.
I'll tell you, the strongest thing in the book that I read in the early going was your statement, I'll never forget the summer I turned 14. Tell everybody about that.
Well, it was a great situation for me because my high school coach just started telling other people how good he thought I might be. And they would come and tell me about it. And so that would make me work a little harder. And at that stage, it's when I decided, heck, that's what I want to be. I want to be like my high school coach. And at that point, I didn't know anything about shoe contracts or camps or radio shows or anything whatsoever. It was just that I wanted to be like my high school coach. And, you know, Ron, you know me. I'm pretty doggone corny most of the time anyway. And that's really what I wanted to be. I wanted to see if I could have some influence on some people like he had on me.
It's interesting how sports can be a refuge for kids that are trying to find their way along. And you talk in the book about the fact that you never really had a basketball, but the neighbors had one. And tell me a little bit about that court, because you say that court was my refuge, the one place where it felt like there were no problems in the world.
Well, it was more than just one court, because at one stage of my life, it actually was a dirt court behind our house up in the neighbor's property. And you know, it could be as dirty as it could possibly be, or raining or whatever, but I could go out there, and and I could lose myself. And then we moved, and I was very close to Biltmore Elementary School, and then I could really go in, and I would go in a lot of times at night by myself, and I wouldn't turn the lights on. I would just the exit lights on each end of the court, and hopefully the moon outside was a little more, and I would go in there, and it really was really a place that there were no problems in there. It was just me and the ball and trying to make a few baskets and trying to get better at what I was doing, because I had seen the older kids, the high school kids play, and I was trying to emulate some of the things that they did.
What kind of basketball player were you, Roy?
You know, I was at a very small high school in western part of North Carolina, and for that level, you know, I was pretty good. But make sure you understand, I say for that level, because my freshman year I came to North Carolina, and I'm 5'9 at that time. I've really had a growth spurt in the last 20 years. I'm all the way up to about 5'10 and a half now. But I was 5'9 and thought I was really quick. And the first day at tryouts for the freshman team, there was a guy named Steve Previs that was 6'3 that was bigger, stronger, quicker, faster. I didn't realize there were those kind of people out there, but it was an eye-opening experience for me. But I loved to play. I loved to compete. And for the level that I was on, it was a great deal of fun for me.
I know you've said you wanted to be like Buddy Baldwin someday. So at what point was the seed of coaching planted in you?
It was really that summer after my ninth grade year. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And from that point on, I never varied. And it's one of the things that I think I'm as lucky as you can possibly be. I didn't have career decisions all the way through my life because I knew I wanted to be a basketball coach. And at that point, you know, I'd played Little League baseball and Babe Ruth League baseball, and I'd spent more time there. And I really liked the coaches that I had in baseball, too, and they were such a positive influence on me. And so at that point, I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Now you turned down a scholarship to go to Georgia Tech to go to UNC. The story is great about the high school teacher and what she told the class. You've got to tell us that story.
Well, she was great. And, you know, a lot of times, Ron, when I'm speaking to college-age kids or kids just out of college even or something like that, I say, remember the toughest teacher you ever had. And I give them a couple of seconds. I say, all right, now think of the best teacher you ever had. And then I'll get them to show their hands. Invariably, it's a huge majority. It's the same person. And that was Mrs. Baldwin with me. And the story in the book is one I have told, and it's it really is funny because Miss Baldwin, she was our math teacher in the higher level math. I had her for Algebra 2 as a junior and advanced math as a senior. In my junior year, I'd go in there and sit down, and she had these little X's marked on the floor, and that's where the four legs of the chairs were supposed to be, and they were not supposed to be anywhere else. And she was about 5'2", and it took me 6 months before I would turn around and look at the clock and see what time it was because I was afraid to turn away from her. But she was fantastic, and then by the time I got to be a senior, we did have a great relationship, and she wanted me to go to Georgia Tech on the engineering scholarship, and finally one morning I went in and told her I'd made a decision. I was not going to do it. I was going to go to North Carolina, and I wanted to be a coach, and her nephew was Buddy Baldwin, was my high school basketball coach, and so she was always so strict and so straightforward, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of chit-chat, so all of a sudden that day, I'd gotten there a couple minutes early in class just to tell her, and she said, well, students, before we start on the lesson, I want to tell you guys something. And she had a wonderful little southern drawl kind of thing, and she said, I want you students to know that Rahway is not going to go to Georgia Tech on a scholarship because Rahway wants to be a coach. He's going to go to North Carolina to be a coach, and I want all you girls to make sure that you don't mess with Rahway, because one of these days Rahway is going to come to borrow a loaf of bread.
It's something about teachers at that particular age. I may remember a teacher that I had was a journalism teacher, and she was the one that kind of started me on the road toward journalism and also to broadcasting as well. Were there any other teachers along the way that did that to you, Roy?
Well, you know, again, Coach Baldwin and Coach Hendricks, Coach Jones, you know, those guys that I just admired so much what they were doing. Mrs. Dunn, the guidance counselor, Mrs. Ponder, the English teacher. I was really, really fortunate. Mr. Starnes, who was the assistant principal, and Mr. Inslee, the principal. I can give you a long list because everybody was so positive with me.
Is that one of the reasons why you enjoy being a teacher in basketball as well?
It really is, and I'll tell you something else. When we play a game, we do something that other staffs do too. I'm not trying to act like I invented the wheel here, but we grade the game. we'll take the tape and we'll break it down and we grade every possession offensively and every possession defensively. And then the next day, we'll give that information to the team. And the reason I do it and have done it almost religiously, if you can use that kind of statement, that the next day I give the kids the grade sheet and what happened as we graded. And the reason I do it was because of Mrs. Ball, when she had five classes, and every day that she gave us a test in math, she also gave the other classes a test. And the next day, she gave the test back. So I know it was tough on her to grade all those papers that night, but it was immediate feedback, and I thought that really helped me learn what was going on. I knew of my mistakes immediately, and I was able to change.
Roy Williams has joined us on Sports Byline. I want to urge you to read this book. It's one of the best sports books I've ever read. It's called Hard Work, A Life On and Off the Court. As we continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Network and the Internet, we've got you on Sports Byline.